Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description. Hey, friendos, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw Count Out, the only pro wrestling podcast where things get counted down in the world of pro wrestling.
That we know of.
That we know of currently. And currently we are.
We have to put that caveat on there because there could be others. We just don't know about
it. There could be plenty of others. We have no idea.
No idea.
But you guys can check us out, of course, right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. Also available wherever fine podcasts are available. If you just want to listen to us, not stare at us all day long, that's fine too. You can do that via podcast app.
Yeah. So yesterday we talked about the wrestlers who we thought had the best 2016. You know, we're looking back at the year 2016 now that's coming to an end.
Yeah, it is.
So why not look at the wrestlers who had maybe not so good 2016s?
Yeah, find out what we can do to help them out in 2017. Maybe look back at where things went wrong.
Okay.
So that they can have a better year going forward because we like to be positive.
Yes.
Here at Going In Raw.
Yes.
Yeah, anyways, let's kick this thing off. Number 10.
10.
Roman Reigns.
So he was number 9, I believe, on our list of wrestlers with the best year because
he had an up and down year.
He was pushed to the moon last year.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Continuing his push from the previous year.
Yes, correct.
But some things didn't necessarily go as planned or go as well as they probably could have.
Yeah.
So he held the WWE Championship to begin the year. And then Vince put the belt up during the Royal Rumble match. Whoever won the Royal Rumble this year got the belt.
Yeah.
Roman entered the Rumble at the number one spot, was in it for maybe like 5 minutes, got destroyed by the League of Nations.
Yeah.
And then rather than have him get back in the ring and compete some more, he was gone for a good half hour. Then
it
came back out.
It was not booked well. Like, they always book it. It's weird. They book him strong when they should book him weak, and they book him weak when they should book him
after
strong.
After he won the belt off Sheamus on Raw, and the crowd popped huge.
Yeah.
Maybe like 2 weeks after that, he kind of faded to the background a lot of the time.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, he's either the champion
or
there
was that weird... Who was he? He was like he was the world champion, but somebody else was...
It was Ambrose.
Yeah, it was Ambrose.
Ambrose
right.
was in the foreground, yeah.
That's right, yeah. And Reigns like barely talked for a spell.
Yeah, they were obviously using Ambrose's popularity to get Reigns over.
Yeah. They had to always like use other people to get Reigns over, and not like in a traditional sense.
Yes.
It's just really odd. Like when they try to force like The Rock onto him... At that Royal Rumble the year before, and everybody's booed it, and Rock was like, what are these people doing? I don't get it.
I haven't heard this noise in a long time.
In
what
a
are
really
these
long
boos?
Time. Are these boos for, why are they looking at me? I'm The Rock. I like Bret Hart's comment about the Royal Rumble. He says, I think they've done an awful job trying to get Roman Reigns over for WrestleMania. And quite honestly, they made their biggest mistake at this year's Royal Rumble, you know. They had the right idea by putting him in from the start and stacking the odds against him, but they should have had him overcome all the obstacles by fighting. But it was Seth Rollins' fault. That's what he said. So apparently everybody wanted Reigns to go heel.
Yeah.
They all wanted him to go heel, and they didn't do that. They wanted their new Cena.
Yeah.
And they seem hell-bent on continuing. And there's been – his bright spots have been really bright. He did have a really, really good year. But then a lot of that year was marred by his low points.
Well, like, let's talk before we
even and missed opportunities.
Yeah, let's talk about his match at WrestleMania against Triple H, because just a month prior, Triple H had a hell of a match against Dean Ambrose at Roadblock. And yet the main event at what they were touting to be the largest WrestleMania ever.
Yeah.
They were trying to break the indoor or the outdoor attendance record or indoor, whatever. I guess it'd be indoor since it's in stadium.
Yeah.
And it was a dud.
And
it was not good.
I always wondered how much of that was Triple H. Because Triple H can carry. I mean, he and Dean Ambrose, he needs a good opponent to have a good match.
Mm-hmm.
And Triple H and him had a hell of a match. And I had always wondered, is that just Triple H trying to force Roman
to
into making something good for himself?
Could be.
Instead of always like, because that was a stinker of a match.
Yeah. And, you know, I think we criticize Triple H some. And I think in the larger wrestling community, some of them criticized Triple H for trying to be too much of a cool heel.
Yeah, he would do the cross chop.
Yeah, and the crowd would pop for that, of course. You know,
but it didn't do Reigns any favors whatsoever.
None.
If you're trying to get a guy over, that's not how you do it.
Nope. Yeah. He needed to be super heel Triple H.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what he needed to be, and he didn't do that.
Yeah.
And then the match itself was just lame.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, people, at the end of WrestleMania, a long show, mm-hmm. 4+ hours of wrestling, and at the end of it, you have the result that you knew was going to happen, but you didn't want to have happen.
Yeah.
And everybody just kind of shrugged and left. Yeah. There was no reaction, really. Yeah. I remember many boos, many cheers.
Yeah.
Just people said, okay, that happened. Let's go home. Yeah, let's beat some traffic.
Yeah. Yeah. They did what they wanted to do.
Yeah.
And we all knew they were going to try to do that.
Yeah. And then after that, that's when he kind of faded to the background somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, it was June where he dropped the belt to Seth Rollins mm-hmm. in his return match, and then right afterwards got suspended.
Mm-hmm.
His 30-day wellness policy violation.
And there
suspension.
Was some debate as to like when the WWE knew, mm-hmm. if he was wrestling for a day or two while they still knew about it, if they were doing it for storyline purposes. Anyway, regardless, he came back from the wellness. He owned up to it, so that's good.
Yes.
And he came back and they kind of de-pushed him. Like, they let Finn Balor get a clean pin on him. They let Seth Rollins get a clean pin on him.
Yeah, he ate two or three clean pins.
He didn't become the number one contender to the title. But pretty quickly after that, like, they put him into a feud with Rusev.
Mm-hmm.
And he won the U.S. title. And he's basically been booked as the strongest guy on the show.
Yeah, he's the U.S. title and the Universal title are kind of on equal measure in terms of you know, being top belt
and
on
his,
Raw.
His theme music seems to generate this almost Pavlovian effect now where you just want to boo it.
Yeah.
You want to boo his theme music.
And it's sort of like when John Cena's song hits, you want to sing John Cena Sucks.
Yeah, exactly. But John Cena can turn a crowd around.
Yeah.
And Roman can't quite do that.
Yeah.
There's still a very mixed reality. People still don't know what to think about.
Yeah. And he's, you know, through the year, he's improved significantly.
Uh-huh.
His ring work is pretty good. We interviewed AJ,
mm-hmm.
he vouched for Roman Reigns' ring ability.
Yeah,
said he could really go in the ring.
Yep.
Selling's inconsistent still,
mm-hmm.
as is his promo delivery.
Mm-hmm.
But that could just be a situation where he just needs more reps. He just needs more experience.
Yeah, could be. Number nine. Matt Sydal. So otherwise known as Evan Bourne.
Correct,
in WWE.
When he was in WWE, before he got released for drug use.
His career, unfortunately, has just been sort of synonymous with drug guy, you know? And 2016 was no different because he's actually had a really fantastic career
mm-hmm.
on the indie circuit and then in Ring of Honor in New
Japan.
Well,
he and Kofi Kingston were tag team champions
mm-hmm,
together.
That's right, yeah. He was at Wrestle Kingdom 10, teamed up with Ricochet. They took part in a four-way match for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Titles, which the Young Bucks took and kept. But then September 23rd, during a routine bag check at Kansai International Airport, 2 grams of liquid cannabis for his electronic cigarette were found by the airport security.
Mm-hmm.
He missed a couple shows because of that, including New Japan's Destruction pay-per-view. And of course, Japan has like really, really strict drug laws. You can't have drugs.
Yeah.
There.
So he was taken into custody.
Right.
And his future...
sort of disappeared for a spell.
Yeah, his future with New Japan was very much up in the air. He was just released. His case was prosecuted. He was released.
Yeah, fortunately for him...
He just got probation.
Yeah, he just got probation. There's a quote here. He says, "It's all finished. I received probation, which applies only if I'm in Japan. So no actual punishment. I was just held until they had the trial. I wasn't ever in jail either, only police detention centers and the Osaka Immigration Detention Center."
But he did say that he is done in New Japan.
Yeah, that's a bummer. Because he had a really... I mean, look, the state of wrestling right now on the indie scene is pretty strong.
Yes.
For especially guys like him who have established names. So I'm sure he'll be fine in Ring of Honor and all sorts of different places, and I'm sure he can probably still go to Europe.
He was one of the participants in that tag match at Pro Wrestling Guerrilla.
Mm, okay, right.
Him and Ricochet mm-hmm. and Will Ospreay mm-hmm. against the Young Bucks and Adam Cole.
Yeah.
And that was a good match.
So he probably still has a bright career. It's just, you know, you can't... You know you're not supposed to be... That's literally trying to smuggle drugs into a country or out of a country or whatever. You're not going to get away with that, you know? So find your hookups wherever you're going. Don't try to cross borders with drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Those are two very important things to keep in mind.
Yes.
Don't try to find hookups. If you need to smoke weed or if you need whatever, then just maybe try to find somebody there. I don't know what to tell you. Anyways, hopefully we'll have a good 2017 and
yes.
And so on and so forth. Number eight.
Eight.
Neville! He just seems to be, instead of the man Gravity forgot, he seems to be the guy WWE forgot.
That Vince forgot, yeah. He won Breakout Star of the Year at last year's Slammies in an upset win over Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
He was in the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
And then on
March 14th,
he broke his ankle in a match against Chris Jericho.
Sliding under Jericho, I think.
Yeah.
Trying to slide through his leg. He got his foot caught. Yeah.
And he missed 4 months.
Yeah.
And then since he's returned, I think he's been in a handful of matches, at least on Raw.
They had him tagging with Sami Zayn
for a little bit.
Short period of time. And then Sami broke out of that and is now in a really, really cool feud with Braun Strowman and sort of by proxy Mick Foley. Neville returned to Raw 3 months after he busted up his ankle. He defeated Curtis Axel.
They made a pretty huge deal about his return, too.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. Let's see here. On the Raw after SummerSlam, he fought Kevin Owens, lost to qualify for the Fatal 4-Way to determine the vacant title. He was then off Raw for 2 months. Scoops notes, according to Scoops notes, he seems to believe that his last time on Raw was the Battle Royal for a spot
that sounds
on
right.
Team Raw that took place October 31st.
On Halloween. And Scoops makes note here about many people, and I think including ourselves, assumed that he would take part in the Cruiserweight division since they were on Raw and he was drafted to Raw. It would make sense. But as of yet, he has not, and I wonder if there's a reason for that.
I don't know. I mean, there is nothing.
He seems
obvious.
A perfect fit.
He seems like a perfect fit. I understand if you want to sort of. Here's my thing. If you want to start fresh with like new faces, I totally get that. But then they're cool with Simon. With Sin Cara.
Yeah.
Heading over there.
Well, there, you know, when Austin Aries started doing commentating for 205 Live, he's been talking about.
He's been talking
taking
about
part being, once he's
I know,
healthy.
Exactly.
So why not bring Neville in? He's an established name.
Yeah, he would elevate that brand because now it's his own brand. Yep. He would elevate that, I think, to a significant degree.
Yeah.
And he literally dresses up in a lot of purple from time to time. Mm-hmm. I know he's wearing red lately, but like there was a period where he dressed in purple.
Yeah.
He's purple.
Yeah.
Put him in the purple
but
division.
But even if he doesn't go the Cruiserweight division, he's a really talented guy.
He's
great in the ring.
He's great. He's one of those guys. I'm totally cool with not even caring about his character or personality. He's just that good in the ring.
Yeah.
Like he's just a lot of fun to watch in the ring. And so I don't know. I mean,
I was curious why he's just not showing up at all.
He's not had a good 2016.
No, he has not.
Not had a good
2016. Not at all. Hopefully he'll have a better 2017. Put him on the Cruiserweight show 205 Live.
Purple.
Yeah.
Purple.
But then if he's on there, if Austin Aries is on there,
yeah.
Akira Tozawa hasn't made his debut in a match yet.
I know.
Tajiri is going to be on there.
Yeah.
We're going to need a second hour.
It's a lot of people. It's a
and
lot.
And if you still
people.
Want your Jack Gallagher.
He should be number one. It should be all him and Austin Aries.
And Cedric Alexander.
Title. Yeah.
And Rich Swann. Rich Swann's good.
Oh, I love Rich Swann. But no, I want only Gallagher, Neville. In Austin Aries.
Okay.
Number seven.
Seven.
Adam Rose, also known as Aldo Rose now in the indie scene.
Yeah.
He's 37 years old.
Yeah, he's been around for a little while.
Willikers. He looks old. He looks like he's in his late 40s. Let's see here. He began his 2016 helping to form the Social Outcasts.
Wasn't he doing his... what was that little kind of TMZ-like show segments he was doing? On Raw.
I vaguely remember
the Social
that.
Outcast. And they were kind of funny.
I vaguely remember that.
I can't remember what it was called.
Adam Rose's story is that of missed opportunity because his Rosebud thing I thought was like really, really unique.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was very well defined. And I personally think Adam Rose has loads of charisma.
Yeah.
It's just they never knew how to use him. Let's see here. He was at WrestleMania 32
in
the Andre
Battle
the
Royal.
Giant
yeah.
Memorial Battle Royal.
Eliminated by...
Baron Corbin. Unfortunately, he was suspended for a second violation of the wellness policy on April 16. That would be for 60 days.
And he
bitched about it
publicly.
Yeah,
he did. He said that he had a prescription in a doctor's note allowing him to take Adderall for his ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
And Scoops here... Oh, and Scoops here notes that WWE knew about it for over a year And Scoop also says that this is the drug that's caused several superstars issues. I believe that was the one, Adderall was one of the rumored drugs that Reigns tested positive for.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
And then he says something about Lex Luger is to blame for this. I don't get that.
But this is, it makes me wonder if that was one of those things where, so according to anecdotally, a couple of people have said that the wellness policy is really, really strict, even when it comes to like submitting proper paperwork on time, and that some people have been busted.
Wasn't Hornswoggle suspended because he couldn't pee when it was his time to take his pee test?
Oh, really?
Something like that? Yeah.
Okay.
He just couldn't urinate.
Yeah, you gotta drink water. So let's see here. During the suspension on May 11th, Adam Rose was arrested for domestic violence and tampering with a witness in Florida. This was something that had to do with him and his wife, and she testified on his behalf, saying, "I need him because we have a special needs son."
Mm-hmm.
And the judge, I think, said okay, but you know, you had to be good.
Yeah, I believe they dismissed the charges.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, were dropped.
Okay, yeah.
When he showed that he was seeking help for
mental problems.
Marital problems.
Oh, marital problems. I said mental problems. So let's see here. Yeah. Then he hit the indies as Aldo Rose in a similar gimmick as the party host, but he shaved his head and is much edgier. There's like one video that he posted on Twitter or something. Somebody, I'm assuming is his wife, like jiggling her butt behind him. And I'm like, oh, I kind of get that. That's kind of cool. Like, I get like the party guy, but it's kind of like darker, you know? I was like, oh, that could work. I could totally see how that could work.
I wonder how many indie bookings he's been getting.
I have no idea.
Because you see Ryback,
mm-hmm.
he seems to be getting booked.
He's in every
Cody Rhodes is everywhere.
Yeah.
It seemed like most of the guys, if not all the guys, who have either been released from WWE this year or asked for their release,
yeah,
seem to be taking bookings on a regular basis. I haven't heard anything about Adam / Aldo Rose getting bookings.
If Ryback is getting $4,500 per booking, how much do you think Aldo Rose can get?
$1,000.
That's it? I would think at least two.
Maybe.
At least two? What, $1,000? We can hire him to come over here? We can probably get him for a shoot interview.
Yeah.
But
Ryback's a former Intercontinental Champion.
Mm-hmm.
He's main evented pay-per-views.
Adam Rose is a big name, though.
He's not as significant a name as Ryback.
Maybe not.
At least to the casual fan.
So let's see here. This happened about a month ago. He tweeted out, he sparked a lot of speculation. He might be in contact with WWE again for something big that he promised was coming, but nothing ever happened with that.
Yeah, I think that was around the time where the WWE, there was reports WWE was trying to bolster the rosters.
The rosters, yeah. So I don't know. Hopefully, all this for Adam Rose was a blessing in disguise, and he's able to take care of the business he has at home and do good things.
Yes.
And hopefully 2016 is good, and hopefully 2017 will be better for him.
Yes.
That's all we can really say.
Yes.
Billy Corgan.
Number six,
Billy Corgan.
Well, let's say Billy Corgan. And TNA, except for the Hardys.
Yes.
Because 2016 was a great year for broken Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy.
So we had like a little bit of a back and forth debate on this because you just put pretty much everybody in TNA except for, and I was like, well, you know what? But everybody else in TNA, sure, they haven't had a great year, but they have a new company that they're funding them.
Yeah.
So at least now the company
doesn't. But the rest of the year felt like, I'm just putting myself in their shoes. Like a bit of huge anxiety attack the entire year.
Yeah, I know.
Wondering if I was going to have a job.
I know. I agree.
Due to the continual financial troubles on the part of TNA and the parent company Impact Ventures LLC.
On the other hand, Billy Corgan, who thought he was putting money into a company as an investment to own a big chunk of it.
Not to Dixie Carter. Those were loans.
Now he is out.
Yes.
No more Billy Corgan.
But apparently he got his money back. So
the TNA. Well, that's good. He probably got some interest on it too.
I would hope so. But then again, it's TNA.
It's TNA. You never know. But yeah, TNA had trouble all year.
Yeah.
This is Scoop's notes. Had trouble this year all around with production, with paying production facilities, paying their talent, longtime staff leaving.
How many wrestlers left TNA in the last 2 years? Bobby Roode, Samoa Joe.
More that are higher, the more than are, yeah.
AJ Styles.
Yeah.
Daniels left before.
I don't know when he left.
But both Daniels and Kazarian. Like
he's been gone for a while.
Jay Lethal.
Yeah.
Even that's like the last few years. They've lost a lot of talent.
They've lost a lot of talent.
Do you know Okada was in TNA for a while?
And Tanahashi. And mm-hmm. they completely misused them. Mm-hmm. Completely misused mm-hmm. them. I know. It's horrible. And yeah, he makes this point now. Also, Jeff Jarrett is supposedly back in the conversation with the company. That,
well, I heard,
I read that was just a consultation.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Yeah, he was talking to the CEO or the guy who was supposed to be taking over TNA.
Just to get some context.
Some backstory in the company.
Exactly, yeah. Dixie Carter has been a mess for the company.
TNA apparently owed, as of October 15th, according to Scoop Notes, $3.5 million to three different groups, not including money they had to pay back to Corgan or the money they owed the state of Tennessee in back taxes.
See, TNA needs to move to Florida, apparently.
Yeah. No state income taxes. Might still have business taxes.
They might have business taxes.
But there's no state income tax in Florida and Nevada. And I think South Dakota doesn't have any personal state income taxes.
Yeah. Yeah, so, but, you know, 2017, now with total nonstop deletion.
Yeah, they seem to have investors.
A firmer footing.
Financially. By all accounts, Dixie Carter is not still in control of the day-to-day activities.
Right.
This, I can't remember what his name is, but there's someone from Anthem
mm-hmm.
who is now running the day-to-day operations along with
Maxwell Hardy is his name. Running day to day, probably be better than Dixie Carter. A 2-year-old.
So long as he doesn't hire Vince Russo.
Yeah, I know exactly.
Probably be okay
on the secret. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean things are looking up for TNA.
Mm-hmm.
If they can capitalize on what I'm assuming will be the phenomenon that is total nonstop deletion.
Deletion.
If they can actually pay their talents on time, and actually start doing storylines are interesting. Creatively.
Yeah.
That was always the thing with TNA. Is like they'd start something and it seemed neat and then they just stop it.
Yeah, I know.
Or
exactly.
they'd put
the title on somebody. It's like, oh, wow, cool, a new era. And then 2 weeks later.
But usually it was just some reactionary move to counter something WWE was doing.
Yeah, I know,
you know?
Exactly.
So it doesn't, you know, like we spoke on Dirt Sheet on Friday about a lack of strategic vision mm-hmm. in the WWE.
Yeah.
And that's something that's been plaguing TNA for years.
Yeah.
And it just, maybe it's because it's a smaller company or there's no person in charge like Vince,
mm-hmm.
it just seems like month after month you'd hear stories about dysfunction and financial hardship within TNA. And
yeah.
you feel bad for the talents there,
yeah,
and the crew.
You feel bad because they're not getting paid.
I know.
I'd be like, I don't care. We're doing creatively. I want money.
Well, yeah,
you know, that's sort of the important thing.
Yeah, pretty much.
But you want to, I know, I understand. You want to wrestle someplace where you're being inspired. I get it.
Yeah. And you
really want to get paid.
You want to wrestle a place where you're doing good work. And you know, if necessary, you can parlay that good work into a better contract either there or someplace else.
Exactly.
But if you're, you know, not getting paid and the creative vision of the company sucks and you're just mired in all sorts of crap storylines.
I didn't read this, but I saw... I was watching some shoot interview the other day, and in the sidebar, there was a video, and I have no idea why I didn't watch it. I was pressed for time, maybe. It was a picture of Scott Hall, and it said, Scott Hall shoot interview on wanting to sleep with Dixie Carter. Hey-o, at Dixie.
Oh, goodness.
At Dixie. You want to go to my house and see what I got on my TV? I put my Christmas tree up, and I'm watching porn. For life. Anyways. So TNA, hopefully they'll have a better 2017.
Yeah.
Number five.
Five.
Apollo Creed.
Cruz,
that's right. His biggest angle this year was being accidentally called Apollo Creed.
By Daniel Bryan.
Ooh, man. You know, we had this sort of ongoing inside joke debate here on the show. When we really kicked things off this summer, it was... the Baron Corbin versus Apollo Crews. They both came up at the same time, and
yeah.
I think it's pretty clear to say Baron Corbin has been on the better end of that particular
thing. Yeah. Apollo Crews was called up from NXT right after WrestleMania,
mm-hmm.
and we were both kind of surprised by that because he hadn't been on NXT very long.
No, and we have no, and this again speaks to your idea that NXT is a perfect place to establish your brand as a wrestler so that when you do get called up to main roster, you have an established like brand. You know, yes. People know who you are and they're excited for you.
Yes, you have a character. People know who you are. Mm-hmm. Yes.
We never knew who Apollo Crews was. We never got one inkling as to who he was. No idea. Nope. We knew he was very athletic.
Yeah.
He's very good in the ring.
Yep.
But beyond that, he just was very happy to be there. And that's all we knew about him.
Yeah.
He was very happy.
Yeah. I mean, he was in a couple feuds in NXT that were okay.
Tyler Breeze, The Drifter.
Baron Corbin.
Yeah.
But that was all in 2015. 2016, it was Tyler Breeze.
And there was the rumor that he was, and I have no idea how much legitimacy there is to this, but there was a rumor that Kevin Dunn called him up to sabotage his career as some sort of vindictive thing, anti-NXT thing, which I have no idea if that's true. It's one of the many anti-Kevin Dunn stories out there. But let's see here. He had a win against Tyler Breeze. Tyler Breeze was jobbing everybody on his way out. He started with a win. Oh, on Maine over Tyler Breeze. Okay, so they picked up from NXT before they left.
Oh, no, I think his first match in NXT was against Tyler Breeze, or one of those first matches.
Something
was.
Like that.
This is interesting here. According to Scoop's notes, there are several rumors that his call-up was rushed, that the creative team wasn't even informed he was coming up until the weekend of WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. And according to him, he wasn't even notified he was getting brought up to Maine until that weekend as well.
Yeah.
And this would seem to run contrary, because I've read this before, that Triple H wants each NXT call-up to having at least a couple months of stories planned in advance. Recent shakeups with the writing staff also states that many talents that do not currently have running feuds will be ignored for a few months to come, but let's hope, this is Scoop's talking, this isn't true, and I agree with Apollo Crews, but Apollo has not really been on TV at all. Yeah. He was on the Tribute to the Troops thing, picked up a win over The Miz with the help of Gabriel Iglesias.
Mm-hmm.
I don't expect that story to be continued on SmackDown next week, considering The Miz and Dean Ambrose seem to have something going on.
Yeah. This is interesting. There's also a rumor that that he has some backstage heat and supposedly messed up a couple of moves in a match with Jericho. I remember that. And then at one point, Apollo Crews said, fuck. And it was caught on mic. So this 2016 is perfectly summed up with that picture of that pre-show group who won their match at the last pay-per-view. Which one was that one?
TLC.
And everybody looks so fired up. And you have American Alpha. You got the Hype Bros and somebody else. And then you got Apollo Crews. And he's just trying his damnedest to muster up a smile. And he looks so defeated. And hopefully, he'll have a better 2017.
Yes.
Apollo Crews.
Yes, I really hope so. He has tons of talent.
Yeah.
So, hoping for the best.
Apollo Crews.
In 2017.
2017.
Number four.
Alberto Del Rio. So, let's see here.
It was an interesting year for
stabbed.
Alberto Del Rio. He got in a fight with a luchador that's themed after the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. That just happened.
He got ambush engaged to Paige.
Yeah. He was suspended.
Mm-hmm.
Released.
Mm-hmm. When did he come back to the WWE?
Last year's Hell in a Cell.
He
got
came
the belt
back
from Cena.
Good 2015, because he immediately came in.
The 3 months of the year he was with WWE.
Came in, kicked Cena in the head, took the United States title.
But then January of this year, he lost that U.S. title to Kalisto, and then got it back 3 days later, then lost it again at the Rumble.
Yeah.
And then shortly after that, he joined the League of Nations.
Oh, God.
To help Sheamus in his feud against Roman Reigns.
It's like the League of X-Pac Heat. Like, nobody liked anybody there except for Rusev.
Exactly. Rusev was the only bright spot
in
the League of Nations.
Yeah. Let's see here. May 2nd, Alberto Del Rio was involved in the Battle Royal, which would determine the number one contender for the U.S. Championship. But again, he was lost and eliminated by Hype Bro Zack Ryder. On SmackDown in May, he did qualify for the Money in the Bank ladder match, but at the pay-per-view, he lost to Dean Ambrose.
See, this is when things started to seem kind of... We started hearing stories about heat with him backstage, because during the draft, yes, he was drafted by SmackDown.
So we knew that he was Paige.
Yeah. While Paige was drafted to Raw.
Right.
And there was already rumors then that that was done purposely to break them up, because Triple H thought Alberto was a poor influence on Paige.
Right, exactly. His last appearance was in August... when he was defeated by John Cena, and then on August 19th,
it was announced that he was suspended for 30 days for his first violation of the wellness policy.
And everybody pretty figured at that point, like there was rumors that he wasn't happy in the WWE. Yeah. How they booked him.
Yeah.
He went on a tour of India, and during that, he said that he was happy in the WWE. He was happy to wrestle for the biggest promotion in the world. But there was all sorts of rumors that he would be done with his contract. Like, once he's done with his contract, he's out of the company.
Yeah.
And it turns out that that wellness policy violation, he exercised, after that, he exercised his opt-out clause, mm-hmm. And he did. And according to Scoop's notes here, he was apparently promised to have Paul Heyman as his manager.
Yeah, I heard that too.
But instead, he was partnered with Zeb Coulter in a lark. And then there was that Mex America thing. A lot of people shit on that. I was like, I kind of want to know where this is going. Because I didn't know. It was awkward and weird, but I wanted to know where it was going.
I remember us talking about that when that storyline was happening, and we just, neither of us had any idea where that was going.
Yeah. Yeah. And then things got really interesting when he left.
Yeah.
Because then he went by Alberto El Patron, which he was doing before when he was gone from the WWE. Mm-hmm. Let's see here. He, return to the indie wrestling circuit at what culture? WCPW.
Yep.
And then he got
he got stabbed before that show. Didn't he do the WCPW show right after he got stabbed, or was it right before? So he did a show shortly after the stabbing, because he just bandaged up his wounds.
I want to say that was in, I don't know.
Maybe it wasn't WCPW, but he did a show shortly afterwards.
Let's see here. He said he was supposed to go to AAA. Which is the Lucha promotion. The following day, he claimed that he had been, but he no-showed. He claimed that he had been attacked by a knife-wielding criminal, a perro, and a drunk guy outside a restaurant in San Antonio. He shared graphic pictures on Instagram showing lacerations. He was quoted saying, "Just the wrong place at the wrong time. It was an incident with a guy who disrespected my girl." Paige seems to just cause trouble. Because then, just a couple days ago, or last week, or whatever it was, he got into an altercation backstage with somebody, and once again he says, "Don't touch my girl way."
He tweeted, "If you, this is the guy who's his outfit's inspired by the Ninja Turtles, the Luchador."
Yeah.
This is Del Rio's tweet. "Just to clarify, if you inappropriately touch my fiance in front of my face, you have to prepare to learn a lesson. #respect.
Yeah. So I think Paige just causes trouble. That's what I'm learning. Talk about trouble. At some other show, which one was that? I forget which one it was. I don't know. It was at some little indie show. Paige surprised him in the ring.
Oh, that's the one in Puerto Rico. That was the WWC one, I think.
Okay. And she proposed marriage to him, and he accepted in front of a bunch of people. And I'm like, man, what would you rather do? Have some crazy chick propose marriage to you in front of a bunch of people, and then you're forced to say yes? Or would you rather get stabbed? Well, I'd probably rather get stabbed.
The thing is legally speaking, Del Rio's still married.
Exactly. It's just a mess.
Yeah.
It's a mess. It's a mess for Alberto El Patron. But he's got a restaurant opening. I don't know.
He's the president of
some MMA promotion.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Ricardo Rodriguez is the ring announcer. So
that's cool.
That's cool. I just don't think he's a good fit for the WWE.
Mm-mm.
So let's see here. Number three. Brock Lesnar.
Let's take a look at his year in the ring first.
Okay.
He was in the Royal Rumble match.
Yep.
Got eliminated by the Wyatts.
Okay.
And we were all thought, cool. Yeah. This would be an interesting program.
Yeah.
But then Bray Wyatt got hurt.
Yes.
And so we didn't get Brock versus Bray. We got Brock versus Dean Ambrose,
mm-hmm.
which ended up being probably the most disappointing match of the year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I won't say probably. It was. It was awful. Terrible match.
Terrible match.
And we didn't really see Brock much until the lead up to SummerSlam, where he had his match against Randy Orton.
Yeah.
Another crap match.
Another crap match where Randy Orton apparently, he had some choice quotes just recently saying, yeah, I had no idea that was coming. And it kind of pissed me off because I just came back from injury. Then mm-hmm. I'd be back on the shelf for 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Now he looks like he's having a good time with the Wyatts.
Yeah.
But coming in and jobbing to Lesnar like in that fashion when he wasn't even brought into the conversations, how it was going to go, is just kind of messed up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wait, didn't Brock have a match at Roadblock last year? He fought Luke Harper, I think.
Oh, did he?
I think so. Yeah, okay. It was a squash match.
All right.
And then just recently, a Survivor Series, he got annihilated
mm-hmm.
by Goldberg in 90 seconds.
By Goldberg in 90 seconds.
So, wasn't a terribly interesting year for Brock Lesnar in the WWE.
Mm-hmm.
Take into account his UFC fight, which he won.
Mm-hmm.
Got a handsome payday for it.
Oh, yeah.
But then was tested positive for doping twice.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just recently suspended by the Nevada State Athletic Commission for 1 year and fined $250,000.
Yeah.
And I don't expect us to see Brock much the rest of the year. He might pop up. Well, he'll definitely pop up in the lead up to the Royal Rumble because he's in the Royal Rumble match.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just kind of been an underwhelming year for you know, the WWE's largest draw.
Yeah, and he's making a shitload of money.
Yeah,
like
doing really uninspired work.
Really uninspired. I mean, my main thing was when Dean Ambrose said it was just really just like everybody who works with him seems to have a problem. Like Dean Ambrose and Randy Orton. Dean Ambrose said, yeah, I wanted to do something interesting. And Brock wanted to do what Brock does, you know, which is just a suplex city bullshit.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. The Goldberg thing, at least it was shocking.
Yeah.
At least it was, okay, well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And we'll see where it goes at WrestleMania. I look forward to 2017 being the year that Shinsuke Nakamura defeats Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
One-on-one, fair and square,
yeah.
No shock value. Has a long match, stiff, strong style, and Shinsuke takes him down.
I think this is the year that Brock Lesnar's gimmick wore thin.
Yeah,
I mean it was interesting to see him defeat the Undertaker. Whether mm-hmm. you think he should have beat or conquered the streak or not,
yeah.
But then when he destroyed John Cena at SummerSlam a couple years ago,
yeah,
that was shocking.
Yeah,
and then he went on that run with a title, beat everybody, had a great match with Cena and Seth Rollins, the Royal Rumble 2 years ago.
Right.
Great match. Had a good match against Reigns at WrestleMania 31. Lost the belt there. Had a couple decent matches with The Undertaker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But just this year, it just seemed like he was just so uninspired.
Yeah, he was hell in a cell match with Undertaker last year. It was fun. Yeah.
But he just seemed so uninspired to do anything interesting.
Yeah. It really felt like he was distracted by trying to get back in the UFC.
Could be.
Number two.
Paige.
Paige, oh yeah, she's had a not good year at all.
No.
So she's sort of, it's kind of interesting because Paige was kind of the forerunner of the whole Divas Revolution thing. She came into the company as sort of the anti-diva, but then it's sort of like an up and down, sort of a rocky road since then. After winning the Divas title.
And her first night on the main roster.
First night on the main roster. Feuding with AJ, they've never had a solid character role for Paige, who seems so easy to have a character role for.
I know.
You know, like the people fucking love her.
Yeah.
She's got that group of that big chunk of audience that really wants to see her succeed. And I don't know if she's her own worst enemy or if creative is her own worst enemy or what the deal is.
Yeah, I don't know.
But then this year was sort of marked by her kind of erratic behavior. Like, she hastened the call-up, like, storyline anyways, of Charlotte, Sasha Banks, and Becky Lynch. Like, she was sort of the storyline.
She kind of instigated
the whole
thing.
She instigated the whole thing. And then she was oddly sort of left out of the Divas Revolution.
Yeah.
You know, because they did it really awkwardly in the first place. It was like three groups.
Yeah.
And that was weird.
Yeah.
And nobody seemed to stand out. But then when they started to let Charlotte shine, to let Becky Lynch shine and Sasha shine, you would think Paige would have been a natural to
Well, she was. Remember the promo that instigated Charlotte's heel turn? Because at the time, Charlotte was a face and Paige was heel.
Mm-hmm.
And then Charlotte had that promo where she talked about her brother. Or, yeah, it was her that was it, wasn't
uh-huh.
it?
Uh-huh. Yeah,
something
yeah,
like
yeah.
That.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And then the crowd kind of gave her some heat from it.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that is when her heel turn happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had a little short program of a couple matches. And I think then shortly thereafter Paige got hurt.
Yeah.
She hurt her neck.
Yeah. And
then she was off shooting Total Divas. And while Alberto Del Rio was courting her.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it just seemed like it was a year full of just erratic behavior.
The interesting thing is, so Paige's family are very, I mean, they're very active in the UK wrestling scene. Mm-hmm. They have their own promotion, but they're also very active in defending her on Facebook. They'll defend her against the WWE on Facebook, but then they're also like, her dad, I think, was like, and I don't want her dating that guy. I don't want her marrying that guy. And talking about Alberto Del Rio. So it just seems like Paige, this is pure speculation based on what we've seen. It seems like she's just young, experienced success at a young age, might not have the sense of perspective that a lot of people who are older than her might have. And, you know, there's rumors that the WWE were trying to break up her and Alberto Del Rio. We can see evidence of that with the brand draft, yep. With the brand split. And there seems to be this theory or this idea that Del Rio is like not good for her, you know, in whatever respect that might be. Didn't the WWE say that his wellness violation was for... Did they say... I thought they made a statement about hers or his or something like that.
I think
that.
It was his.
Okay. I don't know.
No, it was hers. It was her second one.
Okay.
It was her second one, I believe.
And I forget, what did they say about it? They clarified because her family was throwing around allegations.
Yeah.
And I thought they said it was...
Well, because they were saying it was a procedural thing, I think, both times.
Mm-hmm.
No, the second one is the first one was a procedural thing. The second mm-hmm. one was because of pain relievers to deal with her
okay.
neck injury.
Okay, yeah.
And I believe, maybe Scoops has something in here. She tested positive. This is what WWE said. She tested positive for an illegal substance, mm-hmm. not a prescription drug, for the second suspension. So she was suspended twice.
Yeah.
One for 30 days, second for 60 days. Mm-hmm. Her suspension just ran out, but a couple months ago she had neck surgery. And so we will maybe see her middle of next year.
Oh, yeah. Here it is. WWE released a statement saying she had tested positive for an illegal substance, yeah. not a prescription drug.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and then she's gone through her surgery, and even that, her surgery was like a point of contention with the WWE.
There were all these reports that they weren't going to pay for it because they didn't think it was medically necessary.
They thought it was elective or some shit like that.
Yeah.
So, let's see here. It says, Paige is making several appearances for the company in media. Scooby-Doo and WWE, Curse of the Speed Demon, Ridiculousness, this season of Total Divas. And she did a voiceover for the Surf's Up 2 Wave Mania that is due out in 2019. But none of that, I don't think, has been like recently. And it feels like she's either done with the company or she isn't.
Well, I was reading something on, I think, WrestleZone saying that there was reports that she might be coming back to work strictly mm-hmm. to shoot the next season of Total Divas because she's not ready to return to ring action yet. She's still a few months away from that.
Yeah, yeah.
So if those rumors are to be believed,
mm-hmm.
She'll be back in the company in a relatively short amount of time.
Yeah, yeah.
Because didn't she release a statement? She said something on Twitter. There was reports saying that she asked for a release or was about to get fired.
No, she's like, no, I'm happy with the company.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So, you know.
She was going to lawyer up
mm-hmm.
and sue to get out of her contract.
Yeah. Hopefully 2017. I just, you know, I want her healthy. I want her happy. And I want her back in the WWE because I enjoy her work.
Mm-hmm.
Number one. Daniel Bryan. It has to suck. Something you love totally and completely being taken away from you.
Yeah.
When you don't feel like it should be. Daniel Bryan has been by far one of the most over wrestlers in the past 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he was made to officially retire on February 8th. Of this year, he made a speech on Raw and revealed that he had hidden his post-concussion seizures. There was this whole thing about it. He says he feels fine. The WWE doctors say no. And he was cleared by some other doctors.
Yeah, but then he went, according to his retirement speech, he went to another doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And that doctor said there was some test results that were very troublesome.
Yeah.
And advised Daniel not to wrestle anymore for fear of irreversible damage to his brain.
Yeah.
So he's forced to retire. And if that weren't bad enough, being forced to retire and not do what you've loved all your life,
right?
Then I'm sure he was contractually obligated to be on Total Bellas. And we saw had to see him deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just the depression that results from having your life, not only your livelihood, but your passion stripped from you.
Mm.
And that was hard to watch.
Yeah.
And then now I'm sure also because he was contractually obligated, he's the GM of SmackDown, which is great having him back on TV because mm-hmm. When he's into it, you can tell.
Yeah.
He's having a good time.
Yeah.
But you never know, even just segment to segment, whether he's going to be into it or just cruising.
Phoning it in. I know.
Yeah, because sometimes he'll be in a segment and it's obviously he's just reading his lines.
It was like the like you said, that was like the fascinating thing about Total Bellas. It was just a really depressing storyline.
Yeah.
You know, in this reality show that's supposed to be kind of goofy.
And well, they marketed it as this goofy show, and here's Daniel Bryan and John Cena in the same house, and it's going to be funny.
Yeah.
And by and large, what we got was Daniel Bryan dealing with depression.
Yeah, I know. And so, like, and on top of that, like, here's this quote here that Scoops found. It said, Bryan genuinely feels he could wrestle again and has seen multiple doctors outside WWE. He says, I honestly do. All the real concussion specialists who deal with concussions every day, all of them think I'm fine. And so, you know, he's under contract.
Yeah.
So he can't do anything. Makes me wonder if once he's done with his contract, what's he going
to
do?
Well, he's about to be a father. His wife, Brie Bell, is pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if after his child is born, if he will maybe reevaluate things. I mean, he can probably, whether it's what he really wants to do or not, he can probably find a way to make a comfortable living,
mm-hmm.
whether working for WWE, working for NXT, working for Ring of Honor, working in some capacity within the wrestling industry while not actually wrestling.
Yeah.
He can make a comfortable living and not put his body on the line.
But the true question is he going to be happy? That's the thing. It's like, I have no doubt he can do all those things.
Yeah, no, and that's, I mean, maybe once, you know, he is a father, maybe that change will happen. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, we both know is when you become parents, your priorities change a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I think, I honestly think it has, I would think it would have 1,000,000% to do with what the doctors tell him. Because if what he said, because it's such an interesting dichotomy. Because he was on Total Bellas saying, yeah, no, one Monday they just called me up and said, hey, you need to be at Raw. You're going to announce your retirement. He's
yeah.
like, evidently, no, like nobody talked to him about that.
Yeah.
You know, that was his reaction made it seem like, okay, well, they made this decision.
Yeah.
And, but then he said these things about like, yeah, you know, they found some stuff that I hadn't known about mm-hmm. and that changes everything.
Mm-hmm. But on the show too, you know, he's going to he's seeing various doctors and, mm-hmm. and at the end of the season, there's one doctor he saw that pretty conclusively said, don't wrestle.
It's interesting, dude, because I admit, and I know you do too, we have no idea what's real or fake on
mm-hmm,
that show.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me wonder, is there any part of that that's just WWE's narrative of he's retired? This is more stuff to show you why he's retired, because all the doctors say no. We have no idea. Maybe he's talked to other doctors out there who said no. What they said on that show is bullshit, and you can wrestle. We have no... And my thing is this. Total Bellas does a good job in giving us their story of Daniel Bryan and his struggle with depression, and I have no doubt that a lot of that is coming from a real place.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, as you know, we never know what's real, what's staged.
Well, also, I mean, not even just that, just how they manipulate things in the editing room.
Mm-hmm. You
can create a narrative out of a few chunks of dialogue from mm-hmm. different interviews on different topics.
Mm-hmm. He could be crying into Bree's shoulder for a reason that's completely unrelated to whatever that doctor told him.
Yeah.
And they can manipulate basically like what's coming out of the doctor's mouths in some cases.
Yeah.
And so that's me simply saying once he's freed from his contract, it'll be very interesting to see what direction he proceeds in.
Yeah.
It could be if I mean, I can tell you what you're saying in terms of if a doctor said, hey, Steve, you're at risk of basically like being having permanent brain damage. Yes, having a family completely changes that, because it's like, oh fuck, man, that sucks. I mm-hmm. you know, I've got a daughter to look after.
Yeah.
But that being said,
that won't necessarily extinguish the fire within you to do something that you're passionate about. I understand
that. You're right. It wouldn't. But on top of that, and I think that's, you know, time heals all wounds. If the doctor said what he said on Total Bellas, if what he said in the ring at Raw was true and that there's no going back from that, then you're probably absolutely right. Like, you know, that on top, I mean, that's enough. But then having a kid on top of that and a wife to think about, that's a lot more. But again, we have no idea what's mm-hmm. real from mm-hmm. watching that show.
I know.
No idea. I know. You know, that could be the WWE. That could be all related to the concussion lawsuit.
Yeah, it could.
You know, they can be saying, no, we take this very seriously, so we're going to concoct a storyline on Total Bellas. And Daniel Bryan, you're contracted to do this, so we're going to follow you around. You can talk about your depression and stuff. And once you're out of contract, you can go do what you want to do. And if all the doctors say, dude, you're fine, they just did that for storyline reasons, That wouldn't surprise me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm of the opinion that it's probably not going to go down that way. No. But it also wouldn't surprise me because we have no idea what's real.
Yeah,
or fake.
We have no idea. According to Scoop's notes, Daniel Bryan's under contract till 2018.
Oh wow,
so it's another year or so.
Jeez, yeah.
I missed this, but apparently WWE ran a poll.
Oh, I do remember that. Yeah,
asking fans who they wanted Daniel Bryan to face if he did return,
mm-hmm.
and Daniel Bryan apparently was notified of this poll ahead of time.
Yeah.
And I guess, understandably, was a little upset about it because they won't let him wrestle.
There's probably a couple of marks in the digital department.
Mm-hmm.
They said, hey, what can we do? Let's do a poll. Oh, put Daniel Bryan in there. I love that guy. And he'll get a lot of numbers. And on top of that, they ran that. They were doing that. They're still kind of in the middle of a storyline that's pitting The Miz against Daniel Bryan. And we get questions all the time. Do you think he'll come back at Mania to face Miz? No.
No.
If he were to come back, it ain't going to be against The Miz.
No.
The WWE has pretty much put that stamp on Daniel Bryan. He's not coming back.
Yeah.
But
he was great doing commentary for the Cruiserweight Classic.
Oh, yeah, he's fantastic.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
He's usually pretty good on talking smack.
Yeah.
There he seems like he could loosen up a bit and have mm-hmm. more fun.
Yeah.
He seems a little bored, not really into being GM.
Oh, I know.
But talking smack, he seems like he loosens up
well,
a bit.
Well, and he likes, I think because him and Renee Young have good
rapport. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think he likes to fuck with him a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, like he'll say things that he knows that he shouldn't be saying, but they're not going to do anything because it's Daniel Bryan.
I know.
He knows his stock.
Yeah.
So anyways, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, in terms of, you know, he went from the top and he's got to be, you know, he just, that's a shitty thing.
Yeah.
You know, to have something you love taken away from you like that.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. So anyways, those are the wrestlers that didn't have a great 2016. Maybe they'll come back in some manner. I don't know, Daniel Bryan will come back. But, you know, you never know. Never say never, I guess.
Yep.
You know. Anyways, let us know what you guys think in the comments. And until next time, we'll talk to you later.
Bye.